Why don't you please grab your Bibles, the book of 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5. Page 1076 in my Bible. I don't know if that helps you out or not. Actually, my last church, I actually had a deacon who went out and bought the same Bible as me. So he was always like, thank you for helping me out. 1 John, towards the end of your Bibles, chapter 5. And in here, we're going to start talking about verse 14 and 15. Two verses this morning. As we start talking about 1 John, is what's it mean to be a Christian? Right? How do I live it out? What's it look like in my life? Should there be a difference? And the answer is, yeah. Because I believe in Christ, because I've accepted Him, because I'm forgiven of my sins, it should have an impact on my life. And so in here, as John starts wrapping up this chapter, that in here he starts saying, look, you know, we talk about who Christ was. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Rose of Sharon, the Messiah, the Holy One. All the titles that the Scripture tells us of who He is. This morning we demonstrate that this mighty God loves us so much that He gave His Son. Then in here, that we have a relationship. That this Christianity thing, this Christian thing, isn't just a bunch of do's and don'ts that I'm just jumping through hoops. But in here, it's based on a relationship of who I have with Christ. And so as we start fathoming that, getting our head wrapped around how much He loves us, how much He cares for us. I mean, think about this. The Bible tells us that He knows how many hairs are on your head. And for some of us, that changes a little bit every day. He keeps track of it. He knows. He cares so much. He knows what I like. He knows what I dislike. He knows what I need, even before I ask. Right? And so in light of that, John turns our attention to this idea of prayer. How do we carry out that relationship? Right? Because He loves me, and hopefully I love Him back, that because I'm based not on religion but on relationship, what are the elements that fall into that? Right? Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands this morning, but have you ever had a spat with your spouse? And, you know, have you ever gotten to where you got to the point where I don't even want to talk to them? Right? And you sit in the same room and you can just be quiet and just kind of... I remember my younger days, every once in a while we'd have a spat. And I'm like, fine, I'm going to go sleep on the couch. I'll show you. Which, I didn't put it all together because I think she liked it. Because she's like, I got the whole bed. And I got the couch. Oh. You know? And when you get to my age, you'll understand this. You know, the couch isn't comfortable. So now, you know, we got a king-size bed. So now it's like, you stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. Forget the couch. Right? I'll just ignore you from here. Yeah, I'm glad, you know, I'm the only one who ever has that kind of situation. But boy, the tension gets awfully thick, doesn't it? And it's amazing, even as a couple, eventually, you guys start talking. And then through that talking, all of a sudden you clear it out and you work it out. Right? Because at the core of a relationship is communication. How are you doing? This is what I'm doing. This is my need. What's your need? How's your life doing? All these things coming in through. Well, folks, as we have a relationship with God, we got to communicate. Now, we know that this is God's Word for us, that I can sit down and I can read it, and He speaks to me through these pages. He reveals things to me. He shows me things. He encourages me. He steps on my toes and slaps me around sometimes when I need it. Right? But these are His words to me. But to have a relationship, it needs to be two-way. And so how do I talk to Him? It's called prayer. You know, over the years, I've talked to a lot of people who say, well, I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? Yeah. That's all it is. You know, I don't know the secret formula to prayer. Can I tell you something? There's not a secret formula. Talk to Him. Tell Him what you're going through. I remember talking to one lady, and she's like, well, why should I pray to God? He already knows. I said, do you have kids? She goes, yeah. Well, let me ask you. Do you often know what your kid needs before they ask? Yeah. Do you still want them to ask? Yeah. With your child, have you ever seen them struggling and you know they're struggling? Yeah. But don't you want them to tell you what they're going through? Well, yeah. Well, how much more so do you think our Father in Heaven wants us to come to Him? And be honest and open. And pour our hearts to Him. Or just let Him know how we're doing. And so in here, John starts talking about this. 1 John chapter 5. I got it up on the screen if you need it there. If you have your Bibles, follow along. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. This is a cool two verses here, because it talks about we know and talks about the confidence that we have. Have you ever called up customer service for someone and been put on hold? Right? And I am convinced that they pick the world's worst music because they want you to hang up. Right? It's just annoying. And I'm stubborn. I'm one of these guys that I'll put it on speakerphone and walk around the house for an hour. Waiting for them. Right? And now the new thing is a computer voice will come on and says, if you leave your name and number, we'll get back to you. They won't. So I stay on, right? And then the voice comes on, your call is important to us. No, it's not. If it was, you'd answer it. Right? Thank you for letting me vent. This is free therapy for me, all right? Right? And then you're put on hold. And it's important, and it's not. And you get this person, and they just treat you like a number. They don't really care. Folks, can I tell you something? As prayer is that communication with God, God will never put you on hold. Why? Because your prayer is important to Him. And He hears you, and He understands you. And sometimes I don't even know the right words to say, and I just kind of blabber it out, and God's like, all right, I know, I got it. I know what you want. But I have confidence. Look, the King of the universe, the Creator of it all, the Judge of this world, He says, come boldly before His throne of grace. He says, come on down, come on in. You try that with the White House, see what happens, how far you'll get. Right? Here, I'm here to see the President. Who are you? Well, I'm John Tabor. Who? Well, I want to go in. Security. Right? Heaven's doors are always open to you. You know, you knock in prayer and say, hey, I'm here. And the angels are, who are you here to see? I'm here to see God. You know, and God's like, hey, I know them. Come on in. Never too busy. We have this confidence that we have. Now, if we ask anything in His will. Now, I just want to break this up because I want to sort some things out. Because what prayer isn't? All right? What prayer isn't? God is not Santa Claus. There's a difference. Because sometimes as we approach prayer, what happens is we come in and say, God, I've been a good boy. And I want a pony, and I want this, and I want that. And then magically it appears. That's not what God does. All right? And so as we approach Him, He turns around and lays out before us. Notice what it says here in verse 14. If we ask anything, what's it say? According to His will. If we ask anything according to His will. Okay, God, what do you want? As I approach God, God, what do you want? Guys, you'll understand this. Have you ever gone out and you ask your wife where she wants to go out to eat? Right? And your wife will say, no, you pick. It's a test. Right? All men said amen, but don't say it too loud. She's next to you. Right? Because it's a test. Because what he really wants you to say is, honey, I'll go where you want. Or I want you to pick where I want. Right? As we come to God, it's not a matter of, okay, God, you know what? This is what I need. And there is some of that. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But Lord, what is your will? God, you're bigger than I am. You're wiser than I am. You know how things are going to work out. You know what's going on around the corner. God, what's your will? And if our prayer lines up with what God wants, the Bible says He does it. In the book of James, chapter 4, he talks about a guy who goes off to the city. He says, look, here's my plans. I'm going to buy this and do this. And he's got all these plans in life. And James kind of says, look, you know what? How much control do you have on your life? I got none. This week, I had big plans this week. Everything changed. Right? But God, you're in control. God knew I was going to run out of power. God knew that wind was going to come through. He knew all those things. So I come to say, God, what do you want me to do this week? And He showed me. But He took care of me. And so in that, James talks about it. He said, look, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. When we get into the habit of, Lord, what do you want? Right? Even if we come down through, Lord, you know, I could really use whatever it is, and God, this is the situation I'm in. But Lord, you know what? I want what you want. Your will be done. We ask, listen, your name. Lord, what's your will? And we line up with those things. Verse 15 goes a little bit further on this. It says, look, it says, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. Right? When we turn around and we pray, as a Christian, I know He hears me. He tells me He hears me. And God is all-powerful and all-knowing. He's all those things. And so I can come boldly say, God, this is what's going on. You already know it, God, but I got to get it off my chest. Right? And I lay it down on there. But you ever felt you prayed and kind of just bounced off the ceiling or just kind of floated out there? You ever felt that way? God, did you really hear me? The book of 1 John says, look, we have this confidence that He hears us. And we know that we have that petition. Can I tell you something? God answers prayer. Amen? That was really weak. God answers prayer. Amen? There you go. All right. Woo! All right. God answers. He does. And you say, wait a minute, Pastor. I've prayed and nothing happened. There's times in my life when I've come up and said, God, we needed some healing to take place. We needed a miracle. And it didn't happen. I even got to a point where I was angry with God because things weren't going my way. I remember the church I was at, I went there when no one was around. I sat up on the platform behind the pulpit and I was pouring out my heart to God and I was angry. You ever been angry with God? And I'm like, God, look, I'm serving you. You know, I could have a secular job and I could be making more money. I could be doing this. Look, all I gave up for you, you owe me this. And I was saying this out loud. I don't know. I'm glad no one else is in the building. But an amazing thing happened. I prayed it out loud and I heard myself. Like, wow. Man, I sound like a spoiled brat. Second, you know what, God? What does God owe me? He owed me nothing. So I kind of felt kind of foolish after I said that. But you know what? God's got big shoulders. If God knew I was thinking it, so I might as well say it. But Lord, not my will, but your will be done. But know this, God hears our prayer. Sometimes he answers what? Sometimes he gives us what we want. Sometimes God gives us the big things in our lives. Sometimes he gives us the small things in our lives. God says yes. God wants to give us good things. Sometimes he says yes. And we know that when we get together and we praise God, yay! You know, we got a house coming, yay! We got a generator, yay! Actually, God bless us, we ended up with two generators. Woohoo! Yay, yay! Right? Oh, don't you laugh, because you're the ones who didn't lose power. Right? But I was like, woohoo! This is the first time we ever had one. It is kind of, you know, it was like, we actually had like a shower. It's like, nice. Woohoo! God said yes. Can I tell you something? It's easy to praise God when he says yes, isn't it? You want your kid to love you? You just always say yes. But you know the real test is? Is when God says no. Because God's all-knowing, God's all-powerful, and because he knows things, sometimes God says, no. Dear God, I need a Ferrari.
No.
But I'll put a Christian bumper sticker on it.
No.
Hey, angels, you know, give him a Ford. Yeah. Because I know what he needs. See, sometimes in my life, God says no because what I ask for isn't a good thing for me. Or, sometimes God says no because God says, you know what? You'll praise me when I say yes, but will you praise me when I say no? Will you love me? Right? I challenge you, if you want to test this out, go to Walmart. And you'll have a parent say no to their kid. What happens? Ah, I hate you, you're better! Right? And everyone quickly moves away. Right? What happens when we say no? And sometimes in my life, you know what? I need to be told no. Sometimes it's not good for me. You know? My daughter, Dad, it's almost supper time. You know? Can I have a candy bar? No. But I'm hungry. Well, good. You'll eat supper. Right? Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. And sometimes God says, wait. Maybe the answer is not now. Or sometimes we pray, God, what are you doing? And God says, just wait. I don't like to wait. Right? I don't like to wait. With the power out, we didn't want to run the microwave, you know, off the generator. So we had to actually use the stove. It takes so long. My wife made a chicken dinner with baked potatoes. Microwave a baked potato in like 2 minutes, it's done. It takes like 10 minutes, 10 whole minutes to bake it in the oven. I don't want to wait. I want it now. Right? God, I want my house now. God says, wait. Right? I'm picking out Mary Jane. I'm sorry. Frank will beat me up. I don't want to wait. And sometimes God says, wait. Not now. You know, and sometimes it's a good thing because in my life, maybe I'm not ready for it. Maybe I don't need it. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to my wife and said, you know, honey, we need to buy this. She goes, what is it? I don't know, but it's got a blinky light. I'm a sucker for a blinky light. I like technology. But it has a blinky light on it, honey. You don't need it. Yes, I do. You know how many blinky lights I bought? And after I got it home, it's like, I really didn't need it, right? God says, wait. God says, wait. The last bit of time, actually, in your bulletins, there should have been one of these. If you didn't get one, put your hand up. If you want one of these, I have some extra. Got one. Steve, would you mind giving? If you need one, Steve will graciously give you one. All right. But I want to just give you just a little something that prayer is more than just, you know, God, thank you for your food, or, you know, God, you know, wrap things up at the end of the day. So I do want to give you just something real easy for you to kind of go through. We're going to go through these kind of quickly, but in here to help you, maybe just help you in your prayer life. Maybe it'll make it a little richer, add a little more depth to your prayer. And so that by no means is this a necessity in all of this. But I came across this and I thought this was a sort of a neat concept. If you just think of your hand, this is called, you know, this is the prayer hand. And on the side it talks around, it says, look, there's an easy way to remember five essential aspects of prayer. We see this in the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be, right? You guys know that. These elements are contained in this. But this is something you can just stick somewhere and just say, you know what, I'm going to spend some time with God, and how can I as a pastor guide you in that? It says, prayer through each of these five aspects, remembering that prayer is really about aligning our hearts with God, and praises to God should be a permanent part. All right? Now, in this, five aspects, and you can, like I said, you don't have to do every time you pray, say, this is it. There's no magic formula to this. You can say, oh no, you know, I cut off my finger with a chainsaw, you know, 5 years ago, God can't hear me. No, it's not that at all right? I just want to give you an idea of what we can go through here. All right, so if you can turn around this. Psalms 146 says, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Your thumb, think of it, you know, do the Fonzie thing. First thing is praise the Lord. As we come to God, be thankful for what He's done. Be thankful for who He is. Be thankful, God, that You even hear me. The psalmist says, what is man that You're mindful of? Why should God even listen to me? He doesn't have to, but He wants to. Praising the Lord. Right? What can I be thankful for? Well, yeah, my power went out. What am I praising God for? You can say, well, you know what? Praise God, it's not 40 below outside. I can praise the Lord that people were concerned over me. Right? Well, you can say, well, Pastor, my power didn't go out. Well, praise God for that, because mine did. I'm bitter. All right, pray for me. Right? Praise Him. And sometimes in our situations and what we're going through, it is amazing how that just changes everything. God, thank You for my kids. Thank You for my spouse. God, thank You for my job. Thank You for watching out for me. Thank You. We can go through. We sing the old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. Right? First one, praising the Lord. Second thing, thanksgiving. Be thankful. Right? Praise Him, but be thankful. In Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful. Right? We talk about praising Him. What can I be praising Him for? God, what can I be thankful for? And this goes into what I just talked about. Be thankful. Right? Any of you guys have dealt with kids? Nothing is worse than an unthankful child. Right? You ever given a kid something? And they're like, I didn't like that. Right? I don't like that flavor. I don't like that color. It was amazing. I was part of a missions trip that went down to Ecuador. And we ran a vacation Bible school there. We ran a Bible club down there. And at the end of each day, they gave a prize to the kids who came. One day, the prize was a boiled potato and a raw carrot. Right? Poor country, that's what they had. A boiled potato and a raw carrot in a baggie. And you thought they'd give those kids gold. They were so thankful. This is mine. Thank you. And I'll tell you, all the Americans that were down, we're thinking, you know what would happen if we gave a potato and a carrot as a prize at our vacation Bible schools? Right? Unthankfulness is really ugly. How much does God do for us that we don't say thank you? And in here, if we go in our prayers and we praise Him for being who He is, and we're thankful for what He does for us, even those two things will start changing our prayer lives. It'll change our attitudes. Third one, intercession. What intercession is praying for someone else. Right? On Wednesday, we have a prayer meeting here. You're all invited. We gather together and we're doing a quick little devotion, and then we spend some time with prayer requests, that some in the church, some outside of the church, and we sit around and pray. Some people pray out loud. Some people pray silently along with us. But it's a good opportunity in the middle of the week. But intercession is praying for someone else. Ephesians, once again, 6:18. In 19, saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 18 says, pray for all the saints. We need to pray for one another. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on. There's some things that everyone knows. There's sicknesses and illness. There's tragedies. There's other things that's going on behind the scenes. Maybe I have a rebellious child, or maybe me and my spouse are on the verge of divorce, or maybe financially I'm just hurting. Maybe there's all those things. And we need to uplift each other up in prayer. I always challenge you guys. Look, if you're out and about your everyday life and you feel the pressing need to pray for someone, stop and pray. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, you know what, Pastor? I prayed for you this week. I'm like, thank you. There's been times when I've stopped and prayed for someone. And I'll come up and I'll say, how was your week? You know, did anything go on Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday everything was fell apart. You know what? The Holy Spirit. You know, this is what it says here, verse 18. It says, in the Spirit. There's been times when I prayed for you on Tuesday. Thank you. And then he just prayed for himself. That he'll have an opportunity and be bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I've gotten into the habit of trying to walk around town. Do me a favor, pray for me that God will give me an opportunity to talk and share the gospel with someone. Pray for boldness that I'll speak up and say what needs to be said. All right, so we got praise, thanksgiving, intercession. The next one, little ring finger here, is our petitions. What are my needs? What's going on in my life? And sometimes these I have in my life, you know, it's easy to look at the monetary things. Lord, you know, I need a new car. Lord, I need, you know, power. Until I'm bitter, right? You know, Lord, I need, and whatever it is, you can say, oh, you know, this is all, I need more money, or I need this, I need. I tell you, oftentimes, what we neglect is, you know what, spiritually. You know, Lord, I feel alone. Lord, I have anger. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I feel disconnected from you. Lord, I have this sin in my life that's got a hold on me. Can I tell you, in the priority of things, oftentimes those spiritual needs outweigh all the material needs that we have. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Are you an anxious person? Are you a worrier? Here's my test. Do you worry that you worry too much? You do. Right? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Run to the Lord, lay it down at His feet. Lord, I don't know the answer, but you do. Lord, I need you to take care of me. What is the need that you have? And like I said, don't just start, you got money, finances, we have all those type of things, but oftentimes there's a spiritual thing going on here. Keep those things in mind too. The last thing, little pinky, confession. What confession means is to agree with. Right? That in my life, sometimes we harbor sin in our lives that causes a wedge between me and God. And when God says, look, I want you to agree with me that you see it from my point of view. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look, if we come up to God and God says, you know what, you have this problem. You got anger issues. Maybe you have lust. Maybe you've been going and doing and saying all these things that are displeasing to God. And you know what, you look at it and say, you know what, God? You're right. Because if it's just left to me, I'll just justify it. You know, I'm not so bad. I'm better than the guy down the road. I can excuse everything. Well, everyone does it, right? I can just do all those things myself. But what it does is cause a wedge between me and God. Right? I mean, just think of it. You and your spouse. If there's an issue there, maybe I've been an idiot, but I just want to excuse it. That's not going to help my relationship. But if I see things from her point of view, that changes me. When I look at my life and how I live it from God's point of view, I say, God, you know what? I blew it. Lord, this got a hold on me, and I agree with you. Then God says, okay, good. Now we can work on it. And He forgives us. So like I said, I just wanted to give you just a simple little thing that you can file away to kind of enrich your prayer life. Praise. Thanksgiving. Intercession. Praying for others. Petitions. What are my needs? And then confession. I challenge you to try this. I can't guarantee anything. But as you work in these areas in your life, I think you'll see a change. Your relationship with God will become richer. You'll be more aware of what He's doing in your life. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your love for us. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You want us to come. Lord, You want us to spend time with You. Lord, probably the one thing I left out of this list is, Lord, just the time. Lord, we're so busy and so consumed, we're going. But Lord, we need to take time to spend time with You. And in this, Lord, work in our lives, open our eyes. to who you are and a relationship, Lord, a rich relationship you want to have with us. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.